If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Good to have your company and welcome to what is a very, very hot day in Sydney Town, Sydney, Australia. And it is Thursday afternoon, 14th of March, and we have some very intriguing news stories to cover today. Intriguing because there are stories behind the stories. We need to unpack and try and find the truth. And that's exactly what we intend to do, which is why we've got a lineup of great commentators as usual. We do that every day on the program to decipher the narrative and find the truth for you. And that's exactly what needs to be done today. First up, a big tough crime policy was unveiled in Melbourne by the Australian Federal Opposition Leader, Peter Dutton. Now, usually when you announce a crime story, it's pretty plain sailing. Everyone's on the same side. They don't like crime. They don't want to be victims of crime. They want the government to do more about crime. Federal governments don't tend to meddle in crime, but when they do, it's usually big laws, tough laws, and how brave are we? Anyway, I've got a few questions to ask about Peter Dutton's new laws to crack down on gangs who broadcast and publish on social media violence. And we see this all the time, brawls, individual fights, picking on older people, brawls at sporting matches, you name it. They love to publish it live or they publish it afterwards. And I've always wondered why we can't stop that. Well, Peter Dutton said today that we need new national laws. I've got huge questions to ask about that. Why do we need more laws when we've got enough laws to cover these kinds of crimes already? We'll talk about that. And out of the blue, because it's a coalition policy, his colleague from the National Party, David Littleproud, started to, well, get off the page of bullet points that they were given last night. And he sort of dovetailed into outback camps or outback prisons for gang leaders. Outback prisons where he wants to see wild dogs and snakes threaten the very safety of those who are working there. It was a bizarre thing. It's not enlisted and hasn't been announced at the launch in Melbourne, not by Peter Dutton, but David Littleproud went off on a tangent. And I'll play that for you today. He did this on Channel 9. A bizarre rant and something completely divorced from what Peter Dutton was intending. Now, my guests today, they are ready to go. The champion libertarian himself, John Ruddick, he'll be first up. We'll discuss his move in the state parliament to take a stand against what he calls the criminalisation of casual racism. That is a stand for the likes of soccer star Sam Kerr. And John is quite fired up too over the malicious attitude by the New South Wales government towards police officers in New South Wales who refused to get a COVID jab. Would you believe that years later, after the emergency has been declared over, they're still punishing these police officers who wouldn't get the jab? They're still being banned from coming back into the force. You and I can join the New South Wales Police Force if we qualify, but not previous police officers who had already qualified but didn't take the jab. That doesn't seem fair, especially when you consider that vaccine mandates have all but been wiped out across the world. Now, with this outstanding decision, which I covered in detail on the program yesterday, from the UK to ban puberty blockers to gender dysphoria processes, how long will it take before the US and Australian governments wake up, grow a set, and basically face the stark mental reality as the UK government has done? I wonder how long it takes. Australia is now able to go with the UK on this, or they can sit around, look at their navel, get scared to death of upsetting transgender activists and sit there for another 10 years. You know, one of the people that have been calling for the kinds of bans that have been now applied in the UK has been Queensland Senator Pauline Hanson. She said this for years. Something has to be done about gender transition for under 18s. We've got to stop puberty blockers and we've got to stop surgery. She's been on this from the start. She She's been right on this as opposed to the rest of the parliament. So I'll catch up with Pauline Hanson in the program today because it is truly a worldwide landmark decision. And plenty more too on what she intends to do next week in the parliament over immigration levels. She's about to go on the attack. Also on the show, former Army Intel officer Shane Healy. He'll be talking about the latest from Gaza, the CIA proposal to topple the Israeli Prime Minister. I wonder how serious they are with that. And when it comes to the CIA, they can get serious. And how easy is it to break into the top secret Pine Gap intelligence base into the Northern Territory? Very easy indeed. All of that with Shane Healy. So more than enough to tackle in a two-hour program. I hope you can stay with us. Our talkback lines, of course, are available right now. So jump on. Don't worry about whether I'm interviewing anyone. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can jump in at any time. So if you want to dial in from the United States or Canada, the number's 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Or from Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-3118. Zero. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live. We are on the Global News Talk Network, TNT.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, the big story gaining traction right across Australia today is this proposal from the Coalition about the creation of a new Commonwealth offence with jail time attached, mind you, to clamp down on the posting and boasting of gang violence on social media. And you've seen a lot of it. If you actually do surf social media, and I do prolifically, mainly because it can be fairly handy when you're looking for clues and cues towards news stories. So I have a fair gauge on what's going on, and I've never seen more gangs, crooks, posting and boasting about violence that they have filmed. Now, I have all kinds of problems, though, with this measure. Firstly, because state police have enough power today to crack down on this stuff, but they don't. No one is actually designated to do that sort of stuff. You can't incite violence in any way in, say, the states of Australia or the territories of Australia. There are laws to make sure that you are charged, if that be the case, by police for inciting violence. That's there already. You don't need a federal charge as well over the top of that. But obviously, law enforcement don't go down that track. There's no one actually sitting in an office somewhere or a group of people forensically looking at social media posts to determine who's posting stuff that they should not, which might incite violence. And so they keep their hands off that sort of stuff. I have a feeling this is more about culture than the availability of law. And you cannot communicate. There are laws, federal laws already, where you cannot communicate and use a communication vessel for illegal activity. But there isn't a police squad in Australia, certainly not at the federal police level. They're bloody useless anyway. At the federal police level, looking at all of this, who actually looks at it and says, that's a criminal offence, that is inciting violence, we are going out to arrest that person, we can find them through their server, very easily done. No one does that. They seem to wait until someone lodges a complaint and they might investigate. That's how it works in this country. But you could easily get proactive and go and find these culprits straight away. But let's put the state and federal legislative debate aside. Maybe Peter Dutton's got himself some, you know, KC advice and he knows what he's doing. But isn't it perfect to have these wretched maniacs post this stuff anyway? Think about that for a second. It's like people who think, oh, we've got to get rid of swastikas in protests, because that's got to be against the law. That's offensive, grossly offensive to Jews. Well, that's one of the ways in which police find out who the racists are, who the anti-Semitism comments are coming from, where they're coming from. This is a way of finding out who the gangs are, who might be part of those gangs, and what they're posting and what they're getting up to. You know, I would have thought at the end of the day, you have got clean evidence, evidence on tape that you could use, which of course can be traced back to the user or the publisher of the material. Why would you want to ban that? And if, you know, you had a squad in all state and territory police departments tasked with watching everything that goes on in social media, and if the, you know, big tech giants can do it around the world, why can't police as well? You'll find the offending footage and you've got the evidence you need in a court of law. Why would you want to stop that? Anyway, this seems to be a big problem. Allocating resources and appointing trained detectives to do this sort of stuff. Maybe this is what needs to be done, not coming up with federal laws. Anyway, I can understand why the coalition is doing it, because if you may remember, there was a state poll. An Australian Financial Review poll called the Freshwater Strategy poll last month, which showed that crime was a growing concern among voters. The proportion of voters who selected crime as their key issue has increased by 8 percentage points. We know what a big issue it is in Queensland leading up to the state election. Now, according to the Sydney Morning Herald today, coalition sources say that that poll last month helped fuel a view within the opposition that crime was an issue worthy of more political attention. Voila, this is why you've got the launch today. But sometimes when you've got two separate parties involved in the launch of a major policy and doing separate interviews with various members of mainstream media, the message sometimes gets blurred. Someone else's interpretation tends to take over. And early today, commenting on the new policy was Dutton's partner, coalition partner, Nationals leader David Littleproud, and who usually is pretty straight up and down. He's a conservative. But he went right off track. It was quite odd. Instead of focusing on the danger and damage done by posting violent crimes on the likes of Snapchat and TikTok, which is what this story is about, he digressed to include a series of punishments, quite creative punishments that I'm sure Peter Dutton hasn't said anything about today. Littleproud suggesting sending young gang members to outback boot camps.
We need to go back to what the NAL Nationals used to have as outback camps, 200-300 kilometres from towns. You don't need barbed wire. If they want to run away, they have to dodge the King Browns and wild dogs. But every morning they're up with a purpose. They're taught a trade. They're out making fences, building fences, cleaning out water troughs, branding cattle, learning mechanics, and they come away with a purpose in life.
What? Send them out to the desert. Come again. I doubt whether that little gem was in Peter Dutton's bullet points sent out to MPs last night, and it was way off script. So he wants to forget about putting these gang members in jail. That mightn't be tough enough. I don't know why. He wants 40-degree temperatures, regular snake bites, and even wild dogs part of all of this. And somehow they're going to learn trades. They're going to learn how to work. What, in the desert? Outside of major rural centres? Come on. They'd be better off going to Long Bay Jail in Sydney and being part of the various workshops that they have there where, you know, hundreds of inmates are doing things like making boots and making furniture, et cetera, so they can actually use those skills when they get out. It's all there in the jails. You don't have to send them out to the desert, David. Way off script. I don't get it. David Littleproud is usually pretty straight on all of these things, but he may have been watching some kind of movie on this score. No word on chain gangs from Peter Dutton today when he launched all of this in Melbourne, but who knows? The Nationals leader might get his way. Maybe he's got some fetish with chains and whips. I don't know. I don't think so. David Littleproud, nothing against you, nothing personal, but a very big departure on a day when you probably needed to keep on script. This is TNT.
TNT's Hervé Morich.
Being reported today, Canada's financial intelligence unit has shut some of its systems down as it manages what it calls a cyber instance. So again, we've been warned many times over about Cyber Polygon and something like this happening at a greater scale before or during 2025. That's what has been simulated. Whether it happens or not is an entirely different story, but more often than not, when they simulate you know, pandemics, war scenarios, they do come to pass.
Pervoy Morich on today's News Talk TNT.
Of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do
on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Okay, I've got the champion of libertarianism in the state of New South Wales, the leader of the New South Wales Libertarian Party. He is an upper house MP, otherwise known as a member of the Legislative Council, MLC. John Ruddick, welcome back to TNT.
Good evening, good afternoon, Chris. Good to see you.
Well, it is between, you know, afternoon and evening. It's sort of getting that way. It's understandable. You have had a very, very busy week. A stack of things that you have decided to put your foot down on, and I want to get to those in just a second. But in the New South Wales Parliament, you took a stand against a story we've already spoken about, a stand against the criminalisation, you call it, of casual racism and associated hysteria. Now, you are referring specifically to the allegation against soccer superstar Sam Kerr. You think that out of 10, it's 0.1 on the racism scale. Is that what you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Some people are saying, oh, well, you know, racism is racism. It's all bad. And I say, well, yeah, okay, it might be all bad, but some racism is worse than other racism. So 10 out of 10 on the scale of racism is ethnic cleansing. It doesn't get any worse than that. You just go through the villages, wipe out people because they don't belong. That's a 10. Now, Sam Kerr's a 0.1. She's obviously not a racist, Chris, because she's engaged to a full-on white Anglo girl.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Now, I'm glad I get this opportunity to come on and talk to you each week, Chris, because I do need to clear something up.
Please.
My office, phone calls and emails are getting endless abuse because of my Sam Kerr position.
Oh, and that really? Abuse,
yes. That is abuse is coming from right-wingers, my family, my base. Now, why would that be? I'll tell you what's going on here. 9 times out of 10, when there's one of these BS scandals about casual racism, 9 times out of 10, it's a right-winger who's slipped up with the words, said something, they're not a racist, they've just said something stupid, and they were racist, kill the racist.
Why? Because the left always watches their P's and Q's because they're so oversensitive to it, right?
That's right.
Okay, all right, so right. I'll take that as a fact, all right? So the fact is that mostly right-wingers are the ones who stick their foot in their mouths.
Well, they're the ones that get in trouble because the left is out there policing everything they say. And they just
true.
Need to make half a mistake and then they go and make it 10 times worse. Okay, so now when that happens, I'm on those right-wingers' side saying, look, this isn't a big deal, tip of the tongue, let's get over it, let's not kill this person's career because of something like this. Now, what's happened here is Sam Kerr, well-known left-winger, has, you know, she's got in trouble herself over something which I believe is, it does meet the definition of racism if what's alleged is true, dust. Okay, but I don't believe she is a racist, and I don't believe we should have laws around criminalising casual racism, which is what this is. Now, if someone is engaging in casual racism and you're with your mates and they say something, well, I think that you should reprimand them. Say, look, that's a stupid thing to say, and it might be hurtful to other people who might be nearby. Okay, and then if there's a pattern of someone just can't help themselves, they keep saying racist things, well, then don't hang out with them, ostracise them, okay? But it's a whole different thing to that bringing in a law to, you know, Sam Kerr, Chris, is potentially facing 2 years in jail. And she won't get jail. I know that, okay? But that's what the law is on the books.
Well, she's already got jail. We learnt today that she was actually thrown in the clique for a while.
Yeah. Look, clearly it was an ugly incident, okay?
Apparently she was smashed as well, wasn't she?
She threw
up in the taxi.
Well, we've got to keep using the word apparently and allegedly. But, yes, she threw up. Big night on the town in London, not uncommon for young Aussies in London. Okay. But it sounds like it was an ugly incident, and it may well be that Sam Kerr should face some type of legal punishment for being aggressive to a cop. Okay. Maybe she was aggressive to the taxi driver as well. Okay. Yeah. But my point that I've been trying to make this week is that we do not need to bring in this new law where we can just trip people up over casual racism. Get her on other stuff if she's guilty of it. So I was, now, when I came out and defended a well-known left-winger who's got themselves into a so-called race scandal, and I defended her, the right-wingers, half the right-wingers on my Twitter and everywhere else, have been saying to me, John, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If this was Sam Kerr, if someone had said she's a silly white bee, a silly black bee, I mean, she's barely black, but if they'd said something to her, she'd be making a big song and dance about it. Yeah, true. That's true. But I'm saying the adults have got to take a stand. We've got to say enough is enough. So, yes, I will defend Sam Kerr. I also defended in Parliament, didn't get the same attention, the NRL player, the Samoan guy who's accused of another guy calling a monkey. And I said, get over it. Get over it. These things happen on the football field. And you know what? I reckon, Chris, with all these things, the person who's on the receiving end of this casual racism, like the copper in London and the other guy in the NRL field, I don't believe they went home and crying their eyes out, somebody said something mean about the colour of my skin. I don't believe they did that. They went home and they thought, I'm going to weaponise this against that person. I'm going to accuse them of being a racist. It's vengeance. It's malicious. And it's got to come to an end.
It's a very good argument. And you know what we've done in more modern times, John? And this is, I think, symptomatic of how we deal with climate change. We deal with climate change not in shades of grey. We deal in climate change in shades of black and white. In this country, it's all or nothing. We can't have a transition energy supply like gas because it's got some carbon dioxide emissions. So we just get rid of it. It's black and white. There's no shades of grey. The same applies in terms of cancel culture. If you've got anything to do with old-fashioned, derogatory ways, slavery or anything, even if it's 250 years ago, you're dead. We've got to take your statue down. We don't do the grey thing and put an explainer or a history addition to your background on the monument. We just get rid of the whole thing, black and white. And the same goes with racism. People say you're either racist or you're not racist. No, there are shades of grey in everything we do in life, John.
The older you get, the more you realise that these complex issues always have a ton of nuance. Now, when you're a kid, when you're 20 years old, 23 years old, you've read a few books and you think you know the answer to everything, okay? And things are in black and white. Even smart kids fall for this thing. But as you get older and older, you get more understanding of things and things are, there's always at the local level, there's always other things going on.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need to have, you know, the Romans used to have this magnificent body called the Senate, which basically ran right. And the word Senate in Roman or in Latin meant people with grey hair. So what they were saying is we want the people who are calling the shots for our society to have grey hair. Why is that? Because they're smarter, okay? That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Now, what we have with this celebration of youth, okay, is that young kids definitely have sharper brains. They learn things so quickly with the technology, with new languages. Very hard to teach an old dog like you or me, Chris, and you're going to learn Portuguese, isn't it? Yeah, it'd take us for the rest of our lives to learn Portuguese. Get a six-year-old kid teaching Portuguese, you know, they'll be pretty fluent in a year, okay? So they definitely have faster brains, and that's a wonderful thing. We're not all the same. It's good that the young generation have got sharp brains, fast brains, learn things quickly. That's great. They just don't know that much. They haven't been around the block.
Yeah.
So once you've started to accumulate a bit of grey hair, we should almost have a constitutional amendment in this country, Chris, that you can't get into Parliament unless you've got a few grey hairs.
I love
it. Most of the problems would be solved overnight, I can promise you that.
Well, what happens with Peter Dutton? He's got no hair.
Well, we'll find one or two. Well, look, we'll maybe kick him out.
I want to talk about what Peter Dutton did today, and I had to say something at the start of the program. I find it bizarre that we've got to come up with, you know, more laws because we publish something that's offensive or can incite violence. We've got laws about inciting violence. We just don't go after people. Anyway, young offenders who post videos of gang violence on Snapchat or TikTok, etc., to boost their notoriety will face jail under new federal laws proposed by Peter Dutton in a bid to elevate suburban youth crime into the national political stage. Dutton will announce a proposal today. He's done that. What are your thoughts on all of this? Whenever I hear, oh, there's another law, I always instantly go, I bet we've got a law that could cater for it, but we don't have a law enforcement squad to go after the crime.
No, well, I agree with that. And also when there's a new law, when there are new bureaucrats to, you know, bring about the law and have monitor the law and blah, 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 blah. So just creating more and more bureaucracy. But look, I agree with your editorial at the top of the hour. The criminal justice system is a state-based system, okay? So Peter Dutton, who I always say is a better bloke than Scott Morrison, and look, I think he's basically a good bloke, okay? Mm. Now, I think he's got an authoritarian streak in him. I do think that's the case. I don't think he's much of a libertarian, but I think he's basically of sound character. Now, so I don't know why he's putting this bill up through the Commonwealth Parliament. Well, of course we do. Politics,
Yeah. Recently found out from their surveys that crime actually counts in the eyes of voters at the moment.
Yes, that's right. Well, then they should be saying that this is a state-based issue, but they won't because they think they can get some votes out of it. Now, look, I'm deeply disturbed about proposals at a Commonwealth or a state level that can tell social media companies what to do. Okay, now, if a social media company is putting stuff out there that people don't like, well, people will stop using them. I mean, there might be a protest on that social media platform. Get this garbage off there. We've got to get it out of our mindset that the government is going to sort of be quasi control of social media. So that's an important point. Now, with this particular issue, these kids get into, these fads come along. These fads, you know, a lot of them are destructive. Now, the fad they've got at the moment is, let's commit a crime. Let's put it on video on social media and we'll get a few clicks and we'll have a few laughs. Now, I am sympathetic that if somebody has committed a crime and part of the motivation was to put it on social media, I think that then it then does become, you know, a worse crime. Yeah. The victim of the crime is going to be embarrassed to some extent and even if they're not personally identified, but they just won't be comfortable about it. And it is sort of that they're doing it, you know, there's sort of like a thrill in it. So I'm up for state governments to maybe strengthen laws around crimes where the perpetrator has done it to wanting to have an audience.
Yeah, good point. Got to take a break, got to get some news. Come back in about 30 seconds on TNT.
What brings you here?
News entirely.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylant here with a look at your TNT headlines. Donald Trump will face off against Joe Biden in the November election after eclipsing the threshold of delegates needed to secure the Republican nomination. After crying poor, the US says it's found another $300 million to spend on more weapons and equipment for Ukraine. And as Kyiv runs out of men to fight, Slovakia's defence minister says Ukrainian refugees of military age should be made to return home to fill the ranks.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, there's a debate going on our chat box, which, of course, you can participate in simply by going to tntradio.live. And they're trying to work out whether this is live or not. John, are you live? Are you alive? Oh, I know you're alive, but are you live?
It's 100% alive. There's the time and there's the date, unprompted. So, yes, this is as live as you get.
There you go. That just proves it, you see. All right, maybe we need to do that every day, have a clock out the back. All right, I want to talk about COVID, and this has got to be the greatest piece of bastardry after the pandemic I've ever heard of. Now, anything or anyone or any agency that's still running a vaccine mandate is a dinosaur, and you are up in arms, understandably, over the malicious attitude towards New South Wales Police, well, ex-New South Wales Police, who refused to get a COVID jab during the pandemic. This week, you asked the government, why the malice towards these courageous cops? Even after the mandate's over, even after the emergency's over, they cannot get back into the force.
Okay, well, I've been pulling my hair out about this issue. It is an issue. Look, a lot of people that voted for me to get into Parliament voted for me because they supported our strong stands against mandatory vaccines.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, what's happened here with the New South Wales Police is this, and it is extremely disturbing. I've just had, this is how live TV is. My staff member's just come in and he says, you have to sign this right now. So
good, just sign it, mate.
Let me do that right now.
Just sign it. Chris Minns. Okay. Put Chris Minns, Premier New South Wales.
Thank you. Now, okay, so there are four categories of coppers in New South Wales at the moment. Firstly, there are the people that turn up to the Goulburn Police Academy and say, I want to become a copper. They don't ask if they've had a COVID vac. They used to up until about a year ago. Now they don't care. Right?
Oh, and so a lot of those recruits may have refused to get a COVID jab and they're still allowed into the force, are they?
No questions asked. They couldn't care less. They couldn't care less. Then there's another category. You might have been a police officer for 10 years, loved your job. You didn't want the COVID vacs, rightly or wrongly, and you quit your job because before it was forced on you. If you voluntarily quit, you can ring the police force up today. You say, I want my job back. They say, great, come back in. No questions asked about the vax if you quit. Another category is police officer for 10 years. You don't want to take the jab. You didn't quit, but you rang up the HR department and you said, look, I've got a lot of long service leave. I just want to take my long service leave and I'm prepared to take leave without pay. Those people can ring up. Those people who have been on long-term leave for about 2 years, no pay. They can ring up and the police will say, yep, come back, no problem. No questions asked about vax. We don't care about it anymore. Now, it's the fourth category, which is the problem. Oh. These are the coppers who did not want the COVID vax and who got sacked.
Wow.
There's 55 of them in New South Wales. I've met quite a few of them. They are typically dads with wives and kids and happy families and mortgages and normal, nice people who love their job. Okay, now if you got sacked for not taking the COVID back, the police commissioner has said this week, you'll never come back, ever, ever, ever. And it gets worse than that, Chris. Those 55 coppers have got on their record a 181D, which basically means, which is if you're a corrupt cop, if you're involved in serious corruption, you get a 181D and it's on your record for the rest of your life and it's very hard to get any other job. You can't even get into some countries if you've got a 181D.
No. So
it's for very serious offences. And these guys have got a 181D. So they can't work as a cop, and the police commissioner said forever, and they can't get a job in other stuff as well, a lot of other stuff. Now, why is this? Why are they, since they obviously don't care about COVID vaccines anymore because all these other categories are fine.
Yeah.
Why are they digging in? Now, I did until recently think they don't want to have a compensation claim for unfair dismissal, which it clearly is. If you got sacked because you didn't take the COVID vax and then the government changes their mind, well, that's clearly unfair dismissal.
Right. But you reckon the lawyers have got into the ear of the commissioner here?
Well, no. Well, look, there's only 55 of them and most of them were sacked for 2 years. I'm thinking, what is the unfair dismissal? It's going to be a drop in the budget, a drop in the bucket of the New South Wales government budget, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it is about money. I'm guessing it's $10 million at most, okay? Probably half that, okay? But I'm guessing. What I think it is just pure government malice. They just don't want to admit that they were wrong. Yeah. They're digging in over faith. And it was the Liberal government that did it. So you'd think that the new Labor government will say, oh, well, that was a bad policy of the Liberal government.
Yeah.
No. The Uni Party strikes again. So it's absolutely inexplicable. Very pleased you're taking an interest in it, Chris. More media is starting to take an interest in it. It is in your face, black and white scam. I got up and asked the police minister or the representative of the police minister in the upper house this week. I said, why is this? What's going on? He said, oh, I'll get back to you, John. They don't get back to me.
He couldn't answer you straight off the bat.
They don't get back to me. Okay, I have ministers come into my office talking to me about a bill because sometimes my vote in the upper house is the critical vote. A lot of the time they think it's going to be, so they still need to be nice to me. They come in, I talk to them about a bill for 20 minutes, and I say, hey, look, before you leave, can you please tell the minister, the premier, to get rid of these COVID vaccines? And you know what they always say to me? I say, oh, I can't believe that's still going on, John. I can't believe it. Yeah, I'll speak to the premier about it. Nothing happens.
Mm.
Nothing. But I am not going to give up.
Good.
This government at its worst.
Oh, it is. This is malicious. It is unfair. It is inconsistent and it is inequitable. They should go and sue based on who they're allowing to come back into the force now or who they're allowing to qualify for the force based on their vaccine antecedents. there's got to be a case there in the federal court, and a successful one, that says that is discrimination.
Look, there are terrific lawyers working on it. They're not giving up. And so I just think we just keep the pressure up on all fronts.
Yeah.
In the parliament, in the public, in the courts, we just keep going, you know, because, you know, Abraham Lincoln once said, you know, democracy is government of the people, by the people, for the people. What we've got today, Chris, is we've got government of the government, by the government, and for the government. It's a self-serving little circle jerk where they want to keep the state. You know, the state is the boss.
Yeah.
The state is actually just sort of something that we have. It's a necessary evil, and the people should absolutely be in control. So this is disgusting. And,
it is. Keep at them. Still on the issue of COVID, you have a debate on COVID tonight occurring at the state parliament, a verbal showdown with someone who still thinks we all needed the experimental vaccines. I'm going to replay some of what occurs tonight in the state parliament. I'll do that on the show tomorrow. We'll have a big 15-minute chunk and see how you go. You explain to my listeners and viewers exactly what's going on and how do you think it'll shape up?
You know, I worked for Pfizer in 1998 in their government relations department, and I was only there for 5 months, and then they sacked me, and they were right to sack me, Chris, so no hard feelings there. But when I worked for them, they really shoved two things down my throat. They said, John, it takes, for every 40 potential vaccines that we study, only one of them will ever get to market, and it'll take 10 years. And I said, well, why is that? They said, adverse reactions. I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. So they said, it's 10 years and 39 out of 40 won't get through the trials. I said, okay, well, yeah, that's makes sense. So when I take it, every vaccine, every doctor there has ever said, John, you should take this vaccine. I said, okay, no problem. Kids should get the vaccine. Okay, didn't even think about it, right? Didn't even really know there was an anti-vax movement before COVID comes along. And COVID comes along, which was a hysteria from the beginning. And, you know, bad flu, but they made it Ebola. Okay.
You said that from the get-go, and I couldn't agree with you less. I was wrong. You were right. But you said this at the get-go. You deserve credit for that.
Yeah. And now then what happened was then the vax comes along, and I'm thinking, okay, and I love Donald Trump. I love him. Okay, I think he's a great guy. Okay, but he comes out with the warp speed vaccine. And I said, well, no way on God's earth am I going to take it. Pfizer told me it takes 10 years. Pfizer told me that there's backfires. Okay, so I'm not going to take it. It wasn't a political thing. I said, I'm not going to take it because I thought, well, firstly, the whole thing is born of a hysteria, a left-wing hysteria. Mm. And then I thought, okay, look, the vaccine will probably work. This is what I was telling my mates when the vax first arrived. I said, look, it'll probably work. I said, 95% chance it'll be fine. I said, but I really truly believe there's a 5% chance it'll backfire. And I said, I've got less than a 1% chance of dying of COVID, so I just won't take it. So anyway, so then now we have at The Australian a columnist who's been there for a long time, a respected columnist called Jack the Insider, and he is a very, very enthusiastic supporter of the pharmaceutical industry, and he has been way before COVID, okay? He hates the anti-vax movement. So we had a bit of a swipe at each other on Twitter a couple of months ago, and then I said, look, let's settle this, Pete. Why don't Jack? His real name is Peter.
Well, hang on, his real name is Peter. We know that. Yeah. But it's Jack the Insider, right?
Jack the Insider, yes. So I said, Jack, look, why don't we have a debate in New South Wales Parliament to discuss the government's response to COVID and the vaccine rollout in particular? And I said to my staff before we posted that tweet, I said, look, 3% chance he'll agree to this. But to my pleasant surprise, he has agreed, and it's going ahead tonight in Parliament. Now, it's, please don't turn up, public. It's very, very limited seating. We're only allowed 25 guests.
Yeah, but you have a fan club and a half in the libertarian circle of New South Wales. They'll turn up in droves, John.
Well, I'm hoping they can go to my Twitter feed and watch the live stream, okay, because you won't get into the room is what I'm saying. But we're going to look, I want to thank Jack the Outsider. I think it's going to be a respectful debate. We have had some offline communication. He seems like a pretty good bloke. So we'll see. Look, this needs to be thrashed out. You know, one of the things I've learnt in this sort of preparation for this debate is, you know, Chris, you know, one of the worst things out of all the COVID garbage, the worst thing of all arguably, and there were so many bad things, but a potential winner of the worst thing of all in COVID was, if you caught COVID and you hadn't had the vax, but you caught COVID and you somehow survived, you know, like 99% of people, you then have natural immunity. No one, everyone knows that, right? Any disease, yeah, yeah. If you catch it and you recover, you've got
natural. Especially when it comes to the flu and viruses.
That's right. Now, with every other virus, if you've caught it and recovered, the doctors say, oh, well, you don't need to get vaccinated. You've dealt with it. Congratulations, you survived. But with COVID, with good old COVID, you get the natural immunity, okay? It basically exempts you from getting it again in a serious way. Yep. Oh, no. COVID is so serious. You've got your natural immunity. You've got to have your shots. You've got to have your shots every 6 months. It was all garbage.
We all got it.
And we're going to make these points tonight.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. So that's great. So we will get a copy of all of that and we will put it to air tomorrow. Can I just ask you something very quickly? And I'm going to put this to Pauline Hanson next hour on the program because she has been at the forefront of calling on federal government and various politicians to come to the party in reference to putting their foot down over transgender activism and in particular dealing with children and gender dysphoria. And she's been one of the only handful of politicians who've been doing it. But yesterday, as I clearly discussed ad nauseum, the UK made a fabulous decision to say, stop your puberty blockers, which cause all sorts of damage and danger to children. We won't be applying those to anyone with gender dysphoria anymore in the United Kingdom. It's a major issue because the United States doesn't seem intent on going down that path. As a matter of fact, they're going in the other direction and not allowing parents to know what their children are doing in terms of changing gender in the school playground. And Australia seems to be so behind the pack because politicians are too scared to upset minority groups, which is the very aggressive and loud transgender activists. But something's got to be done now that the UK has made this very important stance.
So the UK was sort of like at the forefront of this globally, this whole, you know, child mutilation and child puberty blocker thing, you know, and the hospital in the UK that was the epicentre of it was Tavistock. Now, Tavistock got shut down a few years ago because of so many people regretting it. Suicide rates go up after that. All these things happen.
Yep.
And the old boss of Tavistock is doing social media at the moment and he's saying, we made terrible mistakes. Please don't copy us. So I say, well, you know, better late than never. Thank you very much. Now, what actually happened here, Chris, was in 2012, the US Supreme Court found a constitutional right to gay marriage in the United States, and that became the law of the land, okay? Now, I don't believe the founders of the Constitution intended to say that, but that's now the law of the land in the United States. As soon as the United States Supreme Court did it, gay marriage all over the world fell over like dominoes, legislations all around the world, like Australia. We passed it within the next few years after that. Okay. But then as soon as that US Supreme Court decision was made, out of the blue, what's the next thing being shoved down our throat? Transgenderism. Okay. Yeah. I barely heard of it before. Then it's just escalated ever since. It's all through the popular culture. It's become a social contagion. And I think I have no doubt in the world, Chris, I have no doubt that for thousands of years, a very small number of people, for unknown reasons, do have this genuine impulse where they want to cross-dress.
Mm.
The Bible talks about it 3,500 years ago. It doesn't say very nice things about it, but the fact that they had to mention it means people were doing it back then, okay? Yeah, and they do it in Fiji. They do it all around the world. Weird, okay, but it happens. So now we're not certainly, but also we also know social contagions happen. Now, the libertarian view on this whole subject is pretty simple. We're basically saying, look, if you're under 18, you should not be able to have any surgeries or medical interventions. Go and cross-dress if you want, but don't do any physical damage to your body.
Good.
If you're over 18, okay, well, our system says you're an adult. Go and do whatever you want, okay? Mm-hmm. But, well, according to the law. But that still does not prevent people publicly campaigning against the damage that this stuff might do. Mm. And other people are welcome to go and campaign and say it's fantastic. But look, I think this whole thing is coming. It hit the peak about a year ago when the Bud Light backlash.
Yeah.
The public's interest and the popular culture's celebration of transgenderism has really fallen down since the Bud Light thing, when people, ordinary people, said, look, we're sick of, this has gone too far.
The bubble has been burst.
Time is our friend on this debate, but it's all coming up to the New South Wales Parliament very soon. Very, very soon. I think they just passed it through the lower house, but it's all going to come down to the upper house. So that'll be, if not next week, it'll be soon after that.
Well, hang on. Let me read you something, and you can give me some context on all of this. This is in the Epoch Times this afternoon. The New South Wales government has introduced new legislation to prohibit all LGBT conversion practices from religious communities in the state. However, religious communities are concerned that this will affirm medical practices that harm children. The state Labor government claimed that the move was an attempt to protect LGBT people from therapy practices based on false ideology that LGBT people had a disorder or required treatment. It also claimed that there was evidence that conversion practices were dangerous and damaging and thus should be banned. According to the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, conversion therapy first started in Australian conservative Christian communities in the early 1970s and later spread to other communities. Conversion therapy can take many forms, et cetera, et cetera. The New South Wales government said the legislation was developed with consideration of the well-being of the LGBT community, as well as the acknowledgement and respect of religious and cultural beliefs and practices. What do you know about that?
Well, I'll be opposing that with everything that I can. Now, what the government is saying here is, libertarians believe in voluntary association. So if you happen to be somebody and you have you think you've got an issue that you would like to seek counselling from a third party, well, we say, and that person wants to provide that counselling to you, we say let adults be adults. Let that counselling service take place. And the government should have nothing to do with it. Now there were in past generations abusive forms of trying to convince people that they weren't gay. I don't think these things ever worked, you know. I had a mate, a gay guy, who was in Washington, D.C. 30 years ago, and he didn't want to be gay, but he was gay.
And he used Some of to them go through shock therapy treatment, don't they?
Well, they used to. It hasn't happened for decades, but they keep talking about that. But I had this mate who was gay. He didn't want to be gay, but he was gay, and he went to this, anonymous thing, like Alcoholics Anonymous for Christian guys who are struggling with being gay. Anyway, he said that it turned out to be the greatest pickup place he's ever been to in his life. So I don't believe these gay conversion practices have much success. But that doesn't mean the government should come in and tell you that it can't happen. So we don't. We want people, and there will be. We were talking before about nuance. There will be situations where there might be a 14-year-old kid and they are unsure about things, like all teenagers go through angst and difficult things of this nature, and they might genuinely want to go and talk to their local church pastor. And their church pastor might try and gently convince them that they're in fact not gay. Okay, I don't know how they're going to do that, but if I want that pastor and that 14-year-old kid to be able to have a discussion. Mm. What Chris Minns is proposing is that the pastor is committing a crime.
That's right.
And all good people should say that is outrageous.
Yeah. All right. Good to get your input on all of that. Very, very busy segment today, but there's a lot happening and you've unpacked it beautifully. Mate, thank you very much for all of that. Good luck with the debate. We will hear of it on the program tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time.
See you next Thursday, Chris. Thanks, mate.
Fantastic. There you go. John Ruddick, the New South Wales Libertarian Party leader. Good to have him on the show each and every Thursday. Let's take a break right here on TNT.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, We give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
You ever heard of a polyp? Sounds like a rare species of toad. Actually, it's a lump that grows inside me, your bowel. Look, I'm pretty sure if you had a strange lump growing on your forehead, you might get it looked at, right? But when they're growing inside me, nothing, nada. And the polyps I get can lead to Australia's second deadliest cancer. So, until there's a way to make them grow on your face, it's up to you to get me looked at. Got it?
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, in terms of a tragedy, this is the week's worst, and it's very sad indeed. It comes from Victoria. You may have been following it today, but the operators of a Victorian gold mine that collapsed, killing one man and leaving another fighting for his life at the moment, have denied claims they stripped back safety oversight workers. A 37-year-old man died after a section of the Ballarat gold mine partly gave way at about 4:50 p.m. in Mount Clear near Ballarat yesterday. Operations at the mine will halt while WorkSafe conducts a detailed investigation into the man's death. The Bruthen man's body was recovered by emergency services this morning. The other worker, a 21-year-old man from Ballarat, was airlifted to the Alfred Hospital after suffering life-threatening injuries to his lower body. He remains in hospital in a critical condition. At least 28 workers escaped injury after making it to a safety pod. It could have been a lot worse. There were 28 others who could have been in the line of fire here. Now, I've been under mines. I've been 250 metres under the ground of a coal mine in Lake Macquarie. I've been under mines in other parts of New South Wales as well. It can be rather dicey, but the safety mechanisms that they employ in Australian mining, the Australian mining industry, are very impressive, and I've seen it firsthand. Now, I don't know what they were like in Ballarat, but if you're starting to take safety officers out of shifts prior to something like this happening, well, you're asking for trouble, aren't you? Australian Workers Union Victorian Branch Secretary Ronnie Hayden, who's been on all the television and radio stations today, caning this company, said the two workers were performing a manual style of mining known as air legging when the rock fall occurred. The AWU told media today that the mining style of air legging had not been used at the Ballarat mine for years due to it being unsafe. Air legging is described as a method where a cylinder operated by compressed air is used to drill into rock. Now, he says it's devastating because it should have been avoided. They shouldn't have been doing that task in the mine. This form of air legging shouldn't be used to do this form of work. This is a quick, cheap, and easy way to chase gold. Members on this mine have raised concerns about this style of mining, and it seems to have fallen on deaf ears. Now, they would be looking fairly flash after the incident when they say stuff like that. Where were they complaining beforehand? I haven't seen any evidence that this was raised at an official level or loudly prior to this occurring. Now, maybe the union has only just heard about it. I don't know. But they're always very smart after the event, aren't they? Dozens of police, paramedics and members of the Country Fire Authority's Oscar One Mine Rescue Team rushed to the Woolshed Gully Drive mine site when the collapse was reported yesterday. And these 28 workers in the safety pod were not at risk of injury. At no stage were the miners that had to get to the pod at risk. That's the procedure when something goes wrong. Our miners at this site are highly skilled. They weren't rescued. It's understood the workers had started their shift at 7 a.m. and at just 2 hours before they were due to clock off. It happened. It collapsed. Now, out of San Francisco, this is very interesting indeed. For iPhone users in Europe, this is how in different regions of the world, being an Apple customer has its nuances. iPhone users in the European Union will be able to download apps from websites. instead of through the App Store or a competing App Store app. Now, this is a real departure for Apple because, as you know, they like to keep you in their biosphere. They like to make sure that you are part of the app biosphere that no one else can penetrate. And this is why a lot of users gravitate towards Apple, because they think it's safe. You're in the biosphere. You can't be touched. You're only getting apps from within the company, the firm. Well, not so if you're in Europe. And no doubt the European Union has fought for this to try and allow people to get access to apps outside of that. It's a major reversal for Apple, which has for years fought against web downloads of iPhone software, often called sideloading, citing security issues. But they've had to do it. And so the whole landscape of Apple in the world has just changed. I wonder how many continents and countries will follow suit now that the European Union has got what they wanted. We'll soon see. I've got to take a break. We'll come back after the news and we'll catch up with a couple of fantastic people. Shane Healy, our former Army intelligence officer, will be with us, and so much more. Do not go away. This is TNT.